It's not just a story of Jesus's messiahship. It's also a story of God's sovereignty, that he had everything planned from the beginning of time. There's nothing that passed his notice. And he's reminding us. It's not like, oh, hey, isn't that a coincidence? He's reminding us, I am sovereign over time and all purposes and all events. Let me remind you in this gospel how sovereign I am over everything that has gone before this. And let that stand as a reminder to us how sovereign he is over what will come ahead. Hi, this is Holly, and welcome to Study with Friends. This week, we start a new series on the Gospel of Matthew, and we're studying how this particular gospel uniquely portrays Jesus as the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. If you miss any part of this program, or if you want to hear it again, please get to our website, studywithfriends.org, and type Matthew in the search box. You can listen there online or search us on iTunes, TuneIn, or Stitcher. That's studywithfriends.org. We love to talk to all of you regularly, so please post questions or comments on our Facebook page. Sometimes we see a question that many people ask, so we'll respond on air. Let's start in prayer. Thank you, God. Help us calm our hearts and our minds. Thank you for bringing us here together, and thank you for your word. Thank you for the fellowship that we find around your word. Thank you for meeting us in your word when we come to you. We ask that you would bless our time together, be glorified in it, steer our words and our ways and our hearts towards you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to Study with Friends. And this is our study in Matthew. This will be the first. We're going to go through Matthew together. It's my plan, although I haven't written them all yet. It's my plan to do all four Gospels. And what we're doing in this particular series is we want to take a careful look at the different ways that the Gospel authors, inspired by the Holy Spirit, took a little bit of a different facet for Jesus. Each of them has a different perspective. So certainly we all agree around this table that all scripture is God-breathed, so we know that the Lord is the author of these verses and these books. But we also know that he used humans to do it, and we can learn things from the different perspectives that they had. So we talk a little bit in the homework. I don't want to read the homework per se, but I will point out a couple things. First, we're going to start, like I said, with the Gospel of Matthew, which is included in the three what are called synoptic Gospels. And the reason that they're called synoptic is because they come from a common point of view. I said in the homework that I really like the resource paragospel.com, which is paragospel.com. I like that a lot because it breaks apart each verse and shows you where in each gospel it appears. So if it's a story, if it's a parable, if it's an event, it shows you where in each gospel it appears. Now, not all events appear in all gospels, but it does give you a really strong sense of why they say Matthew, Mark, and Luke are synoptic from one point of view, because they do share a lot of the same events, circumstances, etc. And then John does sort of stand on his own. He takes a different approach. He wrote later, so his perspective is different. But it's worth a really its own whole study. But what I decided to do with this was to lift out each thing that each of the gospel writers seemed to want the reader to focus on. Now, that's not my interpretation, or it's not only my interpretation. Smarter men and women than I have studied a lot more than I did to prepare for this. But I did study to prepare for this session together and to write what I wrote. And so I want to make sure that we're sort of starting at the same point. And that is, Matthew was writing to a Jewish Christian. We think that he wrote it in Greek. There are no original manuscripts of any of the Gospels, of course, which is very sad. But the earliest manuscripts we have are in Greek. So even though he's writing to Jews, he didn't write it in Hebrew, we don't think. And so he was writing to people who had a background of Jewish understanding. And so the thing that he seems to be most passionate about making sure we understand about Jesus, besides the historical telling of his story, is that he was the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And so there are several passages in the book of Matthew that are called fulfillment quotations. So that's what we're going to study together. Mm-hmm. And we're going to look at how those are relevant to us now, but we're also going to really try hard to put ourselves back at that time and talk about why it was relevant then. So that's, I wanted to just set the tone. I want you guys to introduce yourselves and a little bit about where you're, you know, where you're at in life, and share sort of a little bit about yourself. My name's Holly. I think everybody knows that. I have two teenage girls. I've been married to Greg for 20 plus years, and we attend a Presbyterian church. And you go ahead, Jan.
I'm Jan. I was raised and born and raised in Philadelphia. I have two young adult sons. I attend a Baptist church in the area.
Yes. Shout out to Pastor Luke.
Yes, Pastor
Luke. We love.
Hello, my name is Maria, and I am a wife of 20 plus years,
yeah,
with two teenage boys currently at home, and I attend two different churches, one Presbyterian and one evangelical.
Maria and I are also in a morning Bible study, mm-hmm, together at a church that neither one of us attends,
exactly,
on a regular basis. So
right,
we find the community of believers is very close-knit,
mm-hmm,
yeah, and you don't have to go very far to find a Christian, right, that you know if you've been around very long, so that's nice. I did a little bit of work in the beginning. You can find the homework at studywithfriends.org. In the search box, I think if you type in Matthew, it'll probably come up. But it will also be in the Bible study section of the website, so you'll find it. And then on that page will be your homework if you want to follow along with us. We would love that. I think that the deeper you decide to go, God will meet you there. So certainly would be good if you wanted to do the homework, but it's not requisite. You can listen along and pray along with us and listen in on our chit chat about what Matthew has to say. Without it, it's not necessary. So we'll look together then. Let's start with the beginning of the homework. So I wrote here that Matthew's gospel, like the other gospels, attests to the historical Jesus, provides insights to his teaching and his ministry, and provides a framework for the rest of the New Testament. But one noticeable difference is his fulfillment quotations, which we just talked about. The function of this is as evidence of Jesus's messianic identity, which means he's proving that Jesus was the Messiah and reminding us of the Old Testament prophecy, and that Jesus is the fulfillment. So for Jesus, for Matthew, Jesus embodies Israel's story. And I think that we'll find that together. And I want us to reflect and just be very intentional about reflecting on that along the way. You know, the Gospels are used in all different ways. You know, you hear a lot about the Gospels from the pulpit. But I hope that this is something different, the way that we're attacking this and we're going through the whole book and lifting out, mm-hmm, not really topics or subjects, but really lifting out what I think Matthew was trying to convey. I mean, he had a big job. Listen, mm-hmm, he was among the first writers. Mm-hmm. He has to tell this story. I can't even imagine, you know, how daunting that would be, because by then he knows,
mm-hmm,
how earth-shattering what he's witnessed is. And so he has this big job. And of course, with divine, mm-hmm, inspiration, he chooses to go about it in a way, and I hope once we finish all four gospels, for me, the deeper I go, the more perfect I can see God is in his word, that he chose to lay these subtle differences in each of the Gospels. And you know, sometimes, especially before I started writing this study, sometimes you can, you know, you remember the parables and you remember the stories, or he says, let the children come to me. You may or may not know which gospel that came out of, and that's okay. But looking at it in this way, who was Matthew's Jesus? Who was Mark's Jesus? Mm-hmm. Who was Luke's Jesus? And who was John's Jesus? Of course, the same Jesus. These men lived and with him and observed him. But what are the nuances of difference that there's no chance they're not intentional? So how do we make sure we're paying attention to that? Mm-hmm. Each one of them providing something different for us to really focus on. So I hope that you get as much out of it as I did when I was studying it. I really, really enjoyed it. And again, I'm sure I'll say it more than once as we do this, but the perfection of God's plan, I think especially shows up in the fulfillment, because you think God knew exactly what he was doing. And it's not just a story of Jesus's messiahship. It's also a story of God's sovereignty, mm-hmm. That he had everything planned from the beginning of time. There's nothing that passed his notice. There's nothing. And he's reminding us. It's not like, oh, hey, isn't that a coincidence? He's reminding us, I am sovereign over time and all purposes and all events. Let me remind you in this gospel how sovereign I am over everything that has gone before this. And let that stand as a reminder to us how sovereign he is over what will come ahead. Mm-hmm. So I just, there's so much in this I don't want us to miss. We'll do our best. Mm-hmm. And I want to hear what you guys got out of it too. But mm-hmm. that was what really fell on me afresh, that he's reminding us, he's showing us, hey, don't forget who I am. I said I was going to do this. Mm-hmm. I did it. And it changes everything. Pay attention, you know? Okay, so I asked in the homework that you guys would please reflect on your own ideas about Jesus as the fulfillment. And I think I'd like to bookend it, because I wanted to do it at the beginning before you really dive in, and then I wanted to do it at the end and see if there were any additional insights or anything that felt different. So let me hear your beginning musings. And those were mine, just the perfection. Although that's not true, because that was mine after I did it. So that's cheating a little. Sorry. But you guys go ahead.
My initial, before I did any reading at all, I just looked at your question. And my initial response was that the Old Testament never stops pointing to Jesus.
Mm.
Like, it keeps mm-hmm. pointing.
Yes.
And so the more you understand about the Old Testament, the more apparent. That was my initial.
I love that
response. Like, it keeps pointing to the cross.
And what a gift that we get mm-hmm. to sit on this side of that observation.
Yeah.
Because. Yeah. The world was groaning for a savior mm-hmm. and didn't even know it. Some knew it, but we get to look, you know, hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah, like didn't know they needed a savior.
Yeah. Mm.
Like us.
In many ways.
Before we came many to, days. You know, before we came mm-hmm. to him, didn't know. We
Which
knew.
Is.
Some days I wake up and I still think. Yeah. I'm pretty good and I don't need anybody to help me. I will confess that there are days I forget how much I need a savior. Yeah. So I can't even call myself aware of that 24/7. I forget. At least I behave like I forget. Yeah. What okay. about you?
Well, this is...
that was really good, Jan.
Mm-hmm. And for some reason, the kaleidoscope picture comes in my head, because it's everyone's perspective is different. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of... having the four gospels. But with Matthew, I found it kind of interesting to see that he would be the one that directs back. Mm-hmm. Why did God use him? So my questions are, why him?
Mm-hmm.
And why is it? And also, why then? Mm-hmm. You know, God could have chosen a completely different time to be in mm-hmm. to reflect back. That sovereignty overwhelms me.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. That was a really wide view.
It is, but that's...
I don't have those answers.
No, we don't. And that's that's okay. But that's huge he is.
Yeah. Because to him, time is so different than it is to us.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And I think, why did he choose that time to bring Jesus? Because it doesn't say in the Old Testament when he's coming.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So why was it then that he walked? Why not now?
Yeah, you know what's...
That overwhelms me. I'm like, huh?
Well, you know, it's interesting because we were talking about... She was like, well, what is the... We were talking about the intertestamental period. And I'm only bringing that up, Maria, because you said about timing. And we talked a little bit about... she didn't know. She was like, well, what is the intertestamental period? I said, it's the around 400 years in between the Old Testament and the New Testament. She's like, I didn't even know. I thought they happened right back to back. So I said, nope. And what was fascinating, I mean, I knew that there, some people call that the silent time. But I found it fascinating when I just studied, I'd say about six months ago, I studied what was happening in that time. And we were talking about a little bit on Thursday morning. It was totally not the subject of our Bible study, but we are women and we tend to wander.
And our journeys are very exciting.
We do stay on Jesus. We have so many things we want to talk about. You can't contain us when our passion about the Bible. So we sometimes wander off topic, but I was fascinated when I read about what was happening in the world in the intertestamental period. For example, I didn't know there was no such thing as a Pharisee in the Old Testament. I thought Pharisees were just always around. Mm-hmm. I didn't know the conditions that brought them into existence, which were, you know, troubles and trials of the church. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, hardships the temple experienced, and fracturing. The Pharisees were conservative. Mm-hmm. The Sadducees were liberal, adopting the practices of the people around them. Sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
And the Pharisees went into legalism because they were trying to hold on to what they believed was right. And it was fascinating to me that, first of all, like I said, I didn't even know the Pharisees and Sadducees didn't exist before the New Testament. Second of all, it's fascinating to me to see a pattern that we know has repeated again and again through history, where we cling too closely to the law and lose the heart of the scripture. Mm-hmm. Cling too closely to the word and lose the spirit of the scripture. And you know, we're certainly not above doing that. But then I also was reading about in the intertestamental period was when Alexander the Great was conquering the world, and how that weighed in on what was happening and the conditions of the world at that moment in time when Jesus came on the scene. And it's pretty fascinating, to tell you the truth. There should be more done with that in our Bible studies. Mm-hmm. One of the resources that I absolutely love, which I actually bought some extras for my girls in Bible study this past week, is I have this really big fold-out chart that shows you what was happening in the world and what was happening in the Bible. And we don't make those connections. We learn in a silo, if you know what I mean. Like, we learn about Alexander the Great. And then if you're a Christian, you learn about Peter and Paul and Jesus and Moses. But you don't necessarily... Oh, she has hers. I love it, too. You don't necessarily put together... And that's a... We're robbed if we don't do that. And here's why. Because of what Maria said, which I've taken a long time to circle back to. But what my point is that... God is sovereign over Alexander the Great conquering the world and the conditions that, that brought about, which created the Pharisees and Sadducees and the Hellenization of Israel and Israel's people. And all of a sudden, your view of God gets bigger because you're like, oh, God's in charge of all of world history, not just what I read in the Bible. And he steered it all towards Jesus Christ. And so what you're both saying is so much richer when you think about what was happening. You said that the Old Testament was always pointing to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I would go further and say all of world history was pointing towards Jesus Christ.
Right.
You know,
right.
And that's right. Fascinating.
Yes.
And God gets bigger when you look at him that way, which I love that. I want to see more of him.
Because we need to be in that awe perspective at all times.
All the time. And that's one way. I look at that's a tiny little, I should put that up on our website. Mm-hmm. That's a tiny little chart that opened my eyes to the sovereignty of God and all of history. It's really fascinating. Mm-hmm.
It's I agree with you. Even when I learn little things about the current events of the times that I'm reading about, just a little bit, the people that you're reading about, now they're three-dimensional. Now they're you see them as whole people being influenced by a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm. Instead of flat characters on a page,
right.
Part of just a story, they're real people.
They're real people. So the behaviors and the reactions start to make a little more, you start to align yourself with them.
They have a backstory.
Right. Mm-hmm. They have a backstory.
Yeah.
And I think,
you know, Rahab had a backstory. Yeah. Ruth had a backstory, you know, and really diving in and having in-depth understanding of the backstory. And Jesus's temple, Jesus's Israel, had a backstory. And it's not only what's in the Bible. There was more going on in the world than what was recorded in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
They were all leading up to him being perfect for that time. You know, in a sense, it's a little bit hotly debated as to whether Esther should really be in the canon or not because of a few reasons, but she is. God bless her. And Esther is a preview of Jesus because it says right there in the Bible, she was born for such a time as this.
Mm-hmm.
And God orchestrated all of that history for Esther to come in and do what she needed to do at that moment in time. But Jesus, of course, the same, that the world was prepared perfectly for him to come at the time that he came. And so it's weighty, the jobs of the gospel writers and Paul, of course, I think they knew what a big job they had. Hi, it's Holly again. I'm so thankful for the ways God's word helps me to know him and to know myself better. I hope you felt that gift during your time with us today. We're a weekly Bible study just like you find at your local church. If you're not involved in a study like this, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week in every situation. In Matthew 10, Jesus was sending out his disciples to preach the word, and he instructed them with this command, "Freely you have received, freely give." We think that applies to us here at Study with Friends, so we have created many resources for you on our website, studywithfriends.org. If you missed any part of this program or you want to hear it again, you can visit us there to listen free and on demand. Or you can look for other Bible studies, all of which are free to use and print. That's studywithfriends.org. Just like those disciples who relied on the generosity of a host for food and shelter, we are also 100% donor supported. So if you're particularly blessed by one of the resources we work hard to provide, please consider a donation of any amount. A monthly partnership is especially helpful to us, and no amount is too small. If you're thinking about, I only have a little bit, if you feel moved to give it, we would be grateful to have it, and we will thank you greatly for that. You can donate one time or become a monthly partner at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We also love to hear from you via email. at info@studywithfriends.org. That is really always a huge encouragement to us, so please don't hesitate to write if you have the inclination. See you next time. We study with friends.